everyone, and welcome to a special edition of The Locker Room. I'm your host, Tommy Tellerino. Alongside me today is my co-host, Jordan Navarro, as we give you a special Thanksgiving Day episode. Jordan, it's great. Thanksgiving's amazing. Amazing moments in the NFL. Don't you just love this day?
I love Thanksgiving, man. You know, I'm a huge, huge Christmas fan, but I do enjoy Thanksgiving a lot. You know, it's a great time to come together with family and friends. Sadly, I'm not in New York, so we can't spend the holiday together, but I'm wishing you and your family the best.
I wish you guys the best too. Thanks, Jordan. But yeah, I remember, you know, you used to celebrate Christmas November 1st, and then you said Thanksgiving gets its one day, though.
Hey, yes, Thanksgiving gets its one day.
And then it's right back to the Christmas. Yep. Yep.
Yes, of course.
So one thing that comes with Thanksgiving, amazing thing, is that we get three NFL games every year. And let's take a look back at some of these amazing moments that have gone on. Jordan, take it away. What is your favorite moment from Thanksgiving games in the NFL?
I mean, there's so many legendary Thanksgiving moments. And I do have one serious one per player performance and another player performance that's going to live in infamy. I'll start with the serious one. Randy Moss on Thanksgiving Day. I don't remember what team he was playing. I think it was Dallas. Actually, I think it was Dallas. I think it was Dallas in Dallas.
He was facing Dallas in Dallas.
Randy Moss had three catches for 163 yards and three touchdowns. All three catches were over 50 yards. All of them resulted in touchdowns. Randy was he's a super freak. I mean, he got the nickname for a reason. The dude was amazing. And the other one is one that happened against your Patriots.
That's right.
It was a 49-14 game. The Patriots just absolutely dismantled the Jets, but the Jets being dismantled is not what's remembered from this game. It's in the second quarter. The Patriots are up 14-0. And Mark Sanchez dropped back, saw the pressure, decided to tuck it and run, and ran right into the rear end of his center. And the butt fumble will always live in infamy.
Amazing game. Amazing to watch, too. I remember. I was so young at the time. Just remember how funny it was just seeing him run right into his lineman's own butt, basically. And then, yeah, that was a great game at the end, too. You know, I saw, before he ripped my heart out and left New England, I saw Brady eat some turkey legs with Vince Wilfork and I believe it was like Stephen Ridley at the time, one of Bill's makeshift running backs. But yeah, it was a great game. And one thing I always remember on Thanksgiving is we saw the legacy of Sue starting stomping there in Detroit against Green Bay, of all teams. He just had to do it against Aaron Rodgers. Well, he didn't stop on Aaron Rodgers the first time, but it was the Green Bay offensive lineman. And it just led to way more stomping. Gotta love it. How can you hate on this, man?
Man, Sue was, you know, was it a dirty play? Sure. But, you know, he played with an edge in Detroit. He played with an edge.
You know, you gotta pay scrappy there in Detroit. You gotta grind it out. But another thing we saw was Mike Tomlin step on the field against the Ravens while, I believe, was it Jacoby Jones?
Yes, it was.
And Jacoby Jones running back another kick return like he does most of the time. And Mike Tomlin's like, oh, my bad, I'm on the field.
Yep. And my favorite part about that play is that he was on the field, saw Jacoby Jones coming, kind of looked over his shoulder, and then, like, at the very last second, was like, oh, my bad, and tried to sidestep it. Yeah. He was fined $100,000 for that, but, you know, he obviously did it on purpose. And I feel like it was one of those things he wanted to trip him, but he's like, I can't go that far.
He's like, I might get suspended for this one. My quarterback's already problematic right now as it is. But, I mean, there's some great moments like that. And then, for me, one of the most memorable Thanksgiving performances is I don't know why, too. My family's big Dallas Cowboys fans. You know, my aunts and uncles, they come to the house usually every Thanksgiving, and then we watch the Dallas Cowboys. And for some reason, the RG3 game just sticks out of my head every time. This man on Thanksgiving was 20 of 28, 311 yards, 4 touchdowns, and a 132.6 passer rating with an 87.5 QBR. And then he also rushed for like 30 yards too. Man did it all on Thanksgiving. And it's probably the only Thanksgiving game he played.
It probably was, sadly. Thanks, Kyle Shanahan and Mike Shanahan. I mean, you know what's weird? The Cowboys and the Knicks, right? The Knicks, everyone's like, oh, everyone loves to play in Madison Square Garden. The whole legacy of Madison Square Garden is other players going into that building and having career performances.
Yep.
But the Knicks love it. Knicks fans are like, man, this is the greatest place to play. And every time y'all get lit up by somebody else, it's another it's never your own player. Maybe Melo once in a while. It's Michael Jordan, Kobe, Derrick Rose had his, like.
They saw Ricky Rubio this season, man. Like, man, this is still a great place to play.
The mecca of basketball. It's the mecca of losing to Ricky Rubio. And then the Cowboys on Thanksgiving, other than the Lions, who are just sad, and they've been sad, outside of Barry Sanders' 167-yard, 3-touchdown performance on his Thanksgiving Day game, a 55-20 win, there's nothing.
Yeah.
Nothing. Y'all lose every game, and the NFL puts you on the schedule every year. I get that it's tradition, but why?
It's a sorry tradition.
Like, the Bears are starting Andy Dalton this week. Yeah. Andy Dalton's going to go out there and go 30-31 for 450 yards and 4 touchdowns.
You never know. You never know.
And it's the Cowboys are the same way. You have people perform well against you, and you get Thanksgiving. No, this is not something to celebrate. You should not be celebrating other players having great games against you.
I mean, to be fair, Dallas isn't as bad as Detroit. They do.
Oh, no. Yeah, Dallas wins the games.
Yeah.
But I'm just saying.
Yeah. But they're adding the Sunday night game. They want to add, I believe, a specific team for every Sunday night for Thanksgiving games. If that happens, who would you like to see in that Sunday night game every year?
Well, we got the Cowboys, Thursday night game every year, and the Lions. You know, I feel like a team that's always on Sunday night football is the Chiefs. So hopefully not the Chiefs.
Yeah.
Maybe the Patriots or Green Bay. Like, Green Bay is a really, like, good legacy team that they can always have on Thanksgiving. I feel like that would be nice. Something like that. I just hope it's not whatever the trendy team is right now, because they've already flexed the 49ers Seahawks game next week out of Sunday night football, which is understandable. The Seahawks are trash. I don't want to watch them on Sunday night football. The Niners are playing well. But they've already flexed it to Denver, Denver Colts, Chiefs. It could have been Colts Chargers, I think. And it's just like, man, I don't want to watch the Chiefs again. They've had like 7 primetime games. Yeah. It feels like
it's ridiculous. And the Patriots got flexed too. I want to say they play Christmas Day now for someone else.
Yeah.
And then for the Thanksgiving night game, it's been New Orleans a lot. Last year was New Orleans versus Atlanta?
I think so, yeah.
It's New Orleans again in Buffalo. I mean, I can see that. I can see it being New Orleans, but also this is Buffalo's, I want to say, second time on Thanksgiving in 3 years. So
why not an AFC team? Must have got to be all NFC team.
Yeah, that's true. You know, I think why don't we just throw in Jacksonville?
Yeah, or Miami, one of the bad teams.
I just thought of this. When was the last time you saw Jacksonville on, like, Sunday night or Monday night football?
You haven't. They get Thursday night. That's their primetime game.
Like, I don't remember the last time they had a Monday night football game, and usually everyone has a Monday night football game.
It was probably 2017. They probably got flexed to a Sunday night or a Monday night game that year, but I can't remember any recently.
That's sad. Yeah. I think it's the only team.
Yeah.
They've shown Detroit. They've shown Detroit multiple times on Monday night. They won't put them on Sunday night right now. But Any other Thanksgiving moments that come to mind that we're leaving out right now?
No, but one that could happen, and it could be a Thanksgiving Day miracle, is that this could be the last game that Matt Nagy coaches for the Bears. I'm praying for the Bears fans. Praying for the Bears fans.
Are you saying that we could have a Detroit win this week?
Oh, I'm 100% on board with Detroit winning this week. But at the same time, if this is Matt Nagy's last game and he knows it's his last game, so the report came out yesterday that it's going to be his last game coached, and he denied it, you know, and Matt Nagy denies everything. Like, he denied being bad at calling plays. He denied needed to change the offense up. And he denied Justin Fields being the best quarterback on the roster, you know, all that. He's good at denying. He's not good at telling the truth. So maybe he denied the report because he doesn't want people to know he's going to get fired. But if he is going to get fired, he might go out there and coach his tail off. This might be the best the Bears have looked since 85. We don't know.
You never know. You never know. And then you got Dan Campbell on the other side.
He's trying, man. He's trying.
Oh, my God.
Please. You know what's sad is that Dan Campbell, I don't think he's done a terrible job in Detroit. Like, they've played tough this year.
Yeah.
They just don't have the talent. And then you got Jeffrey Okuda, who they draft. That dude is a trash can. He's a traffic cone in the secondary.
He hasn't even seen most of the field. He's like Thor's Achilles.
That guy is awful. And then they got Penei Sewell. They were like, man, I can't believe the Bengals didn't take this guy. And they're like, he was such a good left tackle. You can play right tackle, right, Penei? And he was like, yeah, sure, coach. And he's a turnstile at right tackle. That guy, you know the video of the security guard that just checks people and he like doesn't touch them at all? That's him. This guy's awful.
I was saying last week, they have Tim Boyle starting at quarterback. Have you seen Tim Boyle's college stats? Tim Boyle at UConn for 3 years had one touchdown and 13 interceptions.
Not to mention, he wasn't good enough to see garbage time behind Aaron Rodgers last year. They put him out there to take knees only. The dude had negative yardage last year.
So I watched a little bit of the Browns Detroit game because I was rooting for Detroit and I had Swift in fantasy. And this man literally threw the ball 10 yards behind Swift on a slant route and it got intercepted. Like, Swift is here. We'll say Swift is here. This is where the ball is as he's running. It was one of I looked at my roommate Merrick. I was like, that was the worst pass I've ever seen thrown in my life. and it gets better because he transfers out of UConn, and I want to say he goes to like Eastern Kentucky or Western Kentucky. So his one season there, he throws 11 touchdowns, 13 interceptions.
How did this guy get drafted? How?
This is who the Lions are rolling with. Is Goff back?
Dan Campbell said that he might. It's 50-50 at this point. But like I was saying about Dan Campbell, he's not a terrible coach. I really don't think he is. No. I don't know if he's a good coach, but he's they play for him, obviously.
Yeah.
And it's the same thing with Houston. I don't think David Culley's good at all. I think he's kind of lost, but they play for him. Like, I don't know. These guys, they had awful coaches, and they're just like, it's a new face. I'm going to give them the benefit of the doubt. And maybe that's what they need. So maybe David Culley comes back next season and can run an offense, maybe, or gets an offensive coordinator that knows what he's doing. The defense obviously respects him. He was a wide receivers coach. They have no wide receivers, so he's got no one to coach there. And then Dan Campbell, great energy guy, you know, defense playing for him. Just a lack of talent. They just have nobody. They have DeAndre Swift, TJ Hawkinson, and the local high school football team. That's the Detroit Lions.
And they're losing games on like the longest field goal in history.
Man, they could easily have like 3 wins this year.
I know. I thought that first week against San Fran, I thought they were going to pull off the comeback.
Yeah, and then they got Baltimore. They catch him, they play bad, and they're like, man, we finally did it. No way Justin Tucker's going to hit a career-long, an NFL record to beat us. Not only did he hit it, but just to smite them, God made it go off the crossbar and then go in. I would have respected it more if it was clean.
It's clean, doesn't count. It's illegal. Well, here in Detroit, we don't play that. It's house rules now.
But like we said then, man, if Dan Campbell would have just taken his kneecaps, they wouldn't have lost that game.
That's true.
He missed one set. He missed the most important set in the building.
The most important kneecap on the team. Oh, my God.
But speaking of coaches and people that inspire change and inspire their team to do good, let's talk about a coach that doesn't inspire their team to do good and just recently got fired.
That's the offensive coordinator there. I'm fired.
Yeah, I know. So Jason Garrett, you know, he was the head coach of the Dallas Cowboys. You know, in true Dallas Cowboys fashion, some fans think he was good. Some fans think he was bad. Some call him a legend. Awesome.
There's Cowboys fans that call him a legend.
Yeah, I mean, he has the Thanksgiving Day win at quarterback for him. Remember that?
Yeah,
he did come in as a backup, win that.
Yeah,
and he was a coach. And it's not like they ever had a terrible season under him.
Oh no, they had terrible seasons.
They were just always 8-8. He's the epitome of 8-8. If Marvin Lewis is the first round NFL. He can get you to the first round. He can't get you no further in the playoffs. Marvin Lewis will get you there. He just can't win no playoff games. Jason Garrett can get you to 500. He just ain't getting you nowhere else.
I know a lot of Cowboys fans that are happy that Jason Garrett is gone.
Oh, true. 100%. I would say it's like 70-30. Yeah. Right? Now. Yeah. Like when it happened, I don't think it was 70-30. Now it's 70-30. The New York Giants, the New York football Giants, they're a dumpster fire. They're absolutely atrocious. And they decided, we're going to make this guy our offensive coordinator.
After 9 seasons of watching him.
In division, twice a year. Twice a year with weapons galore. They couldn't go past 8-8. Weapons galore. He had Tony Romo. Dak Prescott. They decided we're going to make him our offensive coordinator. You know who the offensive coordinator is now, Tommy? It's Freddie Kitchens. And he got fired in Cleveland. But yes, like I said, Jason Garrett was fired as OC. And the question I have for you, Tommy, is it time to clean house?
Oh, 100%. 100%. It should have been done years ago. First of all, when you're the GM of the team and you see this guy twice a year and you're like, man, they go 8-8 every year. We need that. That's what we need. That's what we need right there. There's something wrong. And not only was he the offensive coordinator, he was the play caller for New York.
They couldn't even pull Nick Saban at college. Nick Saban don't have Bill O'Brien anywhere near the field. He's up in the booth. You can't be near my team, near my quarterback.
He's like,
you
stay up there.
You can call the plays, but that's as close as you're getting to the field. They let this man be on the sidelines. He's sitting next to Daniel Jones going over plays. He don't even know what play he called.
He's going, great job, Daniel. Great job.
Listen, let me break this scenario down to you. I don't think Freddie Kitchens is bad. I just don't think he's good. He did improve the Browns when he took over as interim head coach. They improved in yards and points, and they went 5-3. Baker Mayfield had a really good second half under him. However, we all know how the second year turned out. It did not turn out good. it was not good at all. So I actually think this is an upgrade because I think Jason Garrett is completely lost. Yeah. And I think his career is going to go a whole lot like Mike McCarthy, right? Yeah. I think he'll be gone for a couple seasons. He'll show up on, you know, some NFL Live or something. And he'll be like, hey, I, you know, upgraded my offense. You know, I went around all these teams and, you know, figured out what they were running. And he's going to come back and be the head coach like the Jets. Hopefully not. I love Bob Sala. So hopefully he doesn't get fired. But just a team like that, whoever the dumpster fire is in 4 years, he's going to come back. He's going to run the same exact play. And it's going to be a Mike McCarthy situation. But can they even rebuild? Daniel Jones is no good.
No.
Now, here's that whole quarterback class is terrible outside of Kyler. So they actually hit on getting the second best quarterback in that draft.
The thing is, they drafted him in the first round.
Exactly. They drafted him sixth overall.
They could have got him in the second.
So they don't have a quarterback. Saquon, as immensely talented as he is, and he's still showing flashes, and I think if he finally got a full season under him, this whole second half, if he can knock the rust off in the second half and stay healthy next year, he can still be a top running back. But you aren't paying him because he can't stay healthy. So you don't have a running back. Kadarius Toney, listen to this, Tommy. I know I'm a Kadarius Toney fantasy owner, but this is crazy to me, right? Kadarius Toney, they drafted him in the first round, okay? Now, as a GM, right? Think you're the Giants GM.
Yeah,
I think you can do a better job as than Gettleman.
I do a lot of connected franchises. So
you draft this guy in the first round out of college. The tape is he's electric with the ball in his hand. He can make plays. Okay, you don't use him the first 3 weeks of the season. He gets upset. You finally use him, and he blows up for 2 weeks. In 1 week, he is 13 for 189. Would have had over 200 with a worse quarterback, mind you. Mike Glennon was the quarterback that game. Would have had 200 if he didn't punch somebody in the face, okay, and get ejected. And you decide, you sit there and you look at that and you say, man, our first round draft pick's doing really good. But guess what? Where is he on the depth chart? He's behind John Ross. He's behind Colin Johnson. He's behind Darius Slayton. He's behind Sterling Shepard. He's behind Kenny Galladay after showing you what he could do. Why? What type of sense does that make? And then you pay Kenny Galladay $72 million. He hasn't caught a touchdown this year because he can't stay healthy and Daniel Jones can't get him the ball.
He's yelling at Daniel Jones every week. Give me the ball. Daniel's like, okay.
And in that draft, they could have had Nick Chubb in the second round, and they could have drafted Quinn Nelson, sixth overall. You know what they decided to do? They took Daniel Jones sixth, and they got Will Hernandez, who's the worst PFF graded offensive lineman in the league. And you already had Ereck Flowers and you finally got rid of him. Now you have to get rid of Will Hernandez. They have one good offensive lineman. One. They don't have a tight end because Evan Engram can't block and can't catch. They paid Kenny Galladay $72 million for what? He can't stay healthy. And when he's on the field, he's not a difference maker. They have one offensive weapon to build around. Kadarius Toney. One. Him and Andrew Thomas. The defense, atrocious. James Bradbury and a bunch of bums.
Hey, Jabril Peppers is there, man.
Leonard Williams is there, too. They got a couple pieces on defense. But, like I asked, time to clean house. They've already cleaned it. There's a couple pictures on the wall.
The thing is, their salary's still up there because they're giving people like Kenny Galladay $72 million.
And they came in as a dark horse. For what? The first overall pick? It was not the playoffs. I can assure you.
Playoffs? Playoffs? Are you kidding me? The playoffs?
There's nothing here. There's nothing here. But do they want to go through another rebuild? Giants fans, some of them have already convinced themselves that Daniel Jones isn't that bad, and we haven't seen him with a good offensive line, and we haven't seen him with all of his weapons healthy. You know what I saw against Tampa Bay? I saw that man off his back foot throw a rocket straight to a defensive lineman. No receiver or running back was near. And if it was Jason Pierre-Paul, it would have been dropped. But he didn't throw it to the three-fingered goblin. He threw it to a defensive lineman with all of his fingers, and he caught it, and it was a pick. There was not a running back, wide receiver, tight end within the area. You know who was there? Will Hernandez with his back turned, not guarding the defensive line.
Will Hernandez was on the ground.
He's terrible.
I just don't get how bad they are at drafting offensive linemen. You know, they had Eric Flowers. They get Will Hernandez now. They took Andrew Thomas, but they could have had the other guy for the Jets, who's way better than Andrew Thomas. It just doesn't make sense. Like, who's your scouting department?
Darius Toney and Kenny Galladay. $72 million paid, first-round pick used. They have zero touchdowns. Andrew Thomas has a touchdown this season.
That's true.
I really don't at this point, Daniel Jones has got to get another contract.
Will he, though?
I mean, I don't think he should, but I think the Giants are going to convince themselves that they're going to have to. The worst decision they ever made was let Dave Gettleman become the GM. And the second worst decision is let him become the GM and pick the players in the draft.
Are you keeping Joe Judge in this rebuild?
No.
Thank God.
Special teams, coach. Special teams? You couldn't go get an offensive coordinator or a defensive coordinator? That's worse than a wide – actually, it's not worse than a wide receivers coach. I'm sorry, David Culley. That was a questionable hire. I mean, wide receivers coach for like 20 years, they didn't want to move you around. You couldn't coach another position.
He was a wide receiver coach on a season where a single wide receiver didn't catch a touchdown for the team.
But special teams, New England, great special teams, of course. But Joe Judge, he's shown nothing. And he's the worst type of coach, right? Matt Nagy and Kyle Shanahan are stubborn. Matt Nagy, he hates himself. Like, he's so stubborn, he will never admit that he's wrong or right. Like, he doesn't want to give anyone satisfaction. Like, not even himself, right? Yeah. The satisfaction would be, let me, you know, resign so I can stop being flamed by the media every week. But no, he won't do that, you know. And Kyle Shanahan's stubborn. He thinks he's smarter than everybody. So does Matt Nagy. But Joe Judge, he says the same thing every week. They'll lose and, you know, he'll go up to the podium and be like, yeah, you know, I don't know what happened. You know, we played good, turnovers, you know, we got to win the turnover battle. You cannot win the turnover battle when Daniel Jones is your quarterback. It's impossible. He has butterfingers and he has worse eyesight than Jameis Winston.
Before or after LASIK?
Both. I've never seen somebody throw more picks to just defensive players. Like, he just throws it directly to him. Like, at least Jameis, like, if he threw his patented middle linebacker interception, like, there might have been a receiver behind him. Yeah. Jameis just didn't put any touch on it. He just kind of tried to throw the football through the middle linebacker. Daniel Jones just throws it to him, and he'll, like, toss it to him, you know, like a softball. Clean house. The house is already clean. There's a couple pictures on the wall. Everything else is boxed up. The Super Bowl trophies are put away. Eli ain't coming. It's over. It's time to burn the house down and rebuild.
I completely agree. It should have been done years ago.
The Jets have a brighter future, and we don't know if Zach Wilson is an NFL quarterback yet.
No, but they have Mike White, baby.
So... speaking of another dumpster fire, though.
It's the Cleveland Browns, which we thought they were actually going to be not a dumpster fire this year. But here we are. I mean, to be fair, going into the year, they look strong, and then they get hit with the injury bug, especially Baker, who I don't know why he's playing right now. He's like the guy, SpongeBob, who's just in a body cast right now. It's like, Baker, it's okay. You can sit out a couple games if you need it. But I think it's time for the Browns to shut down Baker Mayfield. It's not worth it to keep playing him this year.
Yeah, I agree. What are they, 5-6, 5-5 right now? Yeah. I mean, like, listen, Case Keenum ran the offense in Minnesota well. I watched him play this season, okay? He doesn't look good. He looks like Case Keenum, the worst version, the Denver Broncos version. I completely understand why they would want Baker Mayfield to play if he can play. But at this point, you are playing with that man's future. Now, is Baker worth the number one overall pick? Who will never know, right? Like, I at this point, probably not. But, like, he is not a terrible quarterback. He can keep the car on the road. He's a good game manager. He might be a little bit of step above a game manager. But, like, at this point, like, Case Keenum can do what he's doing now. So, like you said, I think it's time to shut him down. I just don't think you're losing anything by shutting him down.
Yeah. I mean, he went out in the Patriots game. They pulled him. And then I don't know if he got pulled last week. I forgot who they played. Oh, no, they played Detroit. I think he had to stay in the whole game because it was like 13-10. But I just think it's not worth it to play with the guy's future. I think a lot of people are like, oh, he's not worth the number one pick. It's like, yeah, maybe right now, but he never really has had a solid weapon. You know what I mean? I know he likes Peoples Jones. That's one of his favorite targets. But I feel like you got to get him a big receiver. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Someone that's a security blanket for him. Because if you think about it, he's never really had that in Cleveland.
Yeah, I mean, Jarvis is good, but they try to use him. The Browns are kind of weird because they move him around so much, and they don't really have that guy that Mike Evans, where he's always going to be on the left side of the field. He's always going to be there. No matter who's guarding him, he ain't moving around the formation too much. He's your boundary receiver. You know, Jarvis moves around a lot. He's kind of a gadgety type player. And then, you know, they're going to rely on the run game. Obviously, they want to run the hell out of the football. But Nick Chubb can't stay healthy. I mean, he goes down for like 5 games every season. And then they have Kareem Hunt. So, I don't know. The Browns, this season, they just kind of got hit with the injury bug. Yeah. I don't think this team's bad. I think if they stayed healthy the whole season, they would probably be like winning that division right now, or at least like really close, like tied.
Right behind Baltimore.
Yeah, so I don't think it's a big deal that they've done as bad as they have this year. Hopefully next year they'll get healthy and, you know, clean some stuff up. I think Kevin Stefanski is a good coach. He's shown that he can run the same system they did in Minnesota, which is, you know, the rollout play action. He doesn't ask his quarterbacks to do too much, which is why Kirk Cousins was so good. But, the Browns are better than this, and I hope we see that next year.
Yeah, I agree with you because the Browns have – they have a good offensive line. They're good at the running back room when everyone's healthy. I mean, even Dearness Johnson looked good.
Yeah.
And then their defense is not bad at all either. They signed some pieces last year. The linebacker core's a little weak, but
the secondary has not played well this year.
Yeah. But who they signed in the offseason? I thought that was a good signing for him. I think it was Josh Johnson.
Yeah, the safety.
Yeah, I thought that was a good signing from the Rams. I just think they're if they stay healthy, they can make a run in the playoffs.
Actually, I think they need another defensive lineman, to be honest. I mean, it's kind of – Olivier Vernon has not done too much for them. I don't watch a lot of Browns games, so I don't know. But off of the games I've watched, I haven't seen him make – too much of an impact.
Yeah.
Miles Garrett is he's the best defensive end in football, but at some point he has to have some help. And I think, you know, they're supposed to be so strong against the run, but they've been lit up the last couple weeks against the run.
Yeah.
And I feel like the pass rush outside of Miles Garrett hasn't been like amazing enough to kind of cover that secondary.
Yeah, I'm not impressed with the Browns. I think it's at the point in the year where it's like, we just got to shut it down. Shut down Baker. It's all right if he misses the like rest of the season, if he needs it. And when his contract's up, I'd extend him. I'm giving him the extension.
It depends on where they are as a team, I feel like. Like if next year, I think it's his last year next year.
Yeah.
If they come out and they win like 12 or 13 games, then fine, I'll give them the extension. But if they muddle through like another 9-8, you know, 10-7 type season. I don't know. At that point, like if they stay fully healthy, of course, they stay fully healthy and they 10-7, you might have to go get a difference maker at quarterback. Also, if Aaron Rodgers is available this offseason, I'm not keeping Baker over trying to go get Aaron Rodgers. The Browns could instantly be Super Bowl favorites if they got Aaron Rodgers.
Russell Wilson's unhappy in Seattle too.
Yeah, like if one of those guys becomes available for sure, you got to push the chips all the way in the middle. This is a very, I won't say very reminiscent, but this is kind of like the Denver Broncos thing. If you can find a quarterback, your defense is good enough, you have a great running game, it'll be the best running game either of them has ever played with. I mean, Aaron Rodgers finally has Aaron Jones, but like most of his career, he didn't have a great running back.
Yeah.
Chinese food, Eddie Lacy. You would need probably to get a receiver if you got an Aaron Rodgers or Russell Wilson, but they can do more with less. We've seen it. So, but yeah, that would be the only situation where I would see them changing from Baker. If they muddle through another even season, 500 season next year, you might have to draft somebody. Or if Aaron Rodgers or Russell Wilson becomes available, you have to go get them.
I'm leaning towards the extension because if you get rid of him, what's going to be better than him? I don't think if you draft someone, it's not going to be better than him while you're trying to contend. You know what I mean?
Well, it depends. Like at that point, you'd have to trade up. Like I'm not expecting them to get the first overall, and that's I'm not like too knowledgeable in the 2023 draft class. I know the 2022 quarterback class is pretty weak, so
you just gotta wait for Arch Manning.
Yeah,
I agree though. If one of those top quarterbacks want out or in their situation, other than Deshaun Watson right now, I would go in and get him. If you guys think that, like, all right, we would be, like, the number one seed in our conference if we didn't have Baker. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
But I think it's going to be interesting. I hope he doesn't play a lot more this year. I'd rather see him rest up his injuries than try to force it. You know what I mean? But some sleeper teams – that might get in the playoffs. How many are out there, you think?
There's a few. My number one, I'm wearing them right now. I don't know how much of a sleeper they are now. I mean, they were a sleeper when we were 3-5. But the San Francisco 49ers have finally put together a couple good games in a row. And Kyle Shanahan has finally stopped trying to do whatever we were doing early in the season, and we have just ran the ball, which is what we should have been doing all season. Last week against Jacksonville, our first drive of the game took up 13 minutes. We scored off a field goal, and I looked, and it was the second quarter. So I don't know. I don't know what happened. San Francisco's defense has been playing well. The offense is back to controlling the time of possession. So I think they could easily get in at 5-5. Another sleeper team for the NFC is the Carolina Panthers. They are 5-6 right now. Losing to the football team really hurt them last week. But Cam Newton, he looks okay. I'm not going to say he looks like Super Cam. I mean, he missed a couple throws that I thought he should have made. But he looks good. And obviously he's comfortable. And he has the ultimate checkdown target in Christian McCaffrey. So he doesn't have to do a lot. But Carolina could make a run with Cam.
Yeah, that was a Cam Newton game I'm used to seeing over the past year. You know, they're in it. He keeps them in the game. What's he do the last drive? Oh, he turns it over on downs, or it's a fumble interception. I wasn't surprised about that. But I will agree, he did look good. He did look good. For me, they're in the playoffs right now, but I feel like the record is – worse than what they are. Minnesota, I think, is a sleeper team. At 5-5, in the way that they've been performing, they could easily be maybe 8-3, or they could be 9-2, because they lost two games on a field. Their kicker missed a field goal from like it was like 30 yards. One of them.
Yeah.
And then they had the Dallas game. What could have gone either way. That right there, they're 9-2 right there. So I think they're a team to watch out for that might climb. A team that's not in the playoffs at this moment that could slip in as a sleeper, I think Philly. I think Philly can slip in because they are in the NFC East. So they're going to face – they haven't faced the Giants yet, I don't think.
They play them this week.
They play them, yeah. So, and then they – I don't think they've faced Washington yet either.
No, they've played Washington once, I think.
They played no, they didn't. They've only played Dallas.
Oh, then – yeah.
Because they're 0-1 in the division right now. So they have all their – most of their divisional games left. That could be in their favor, depending on how they play. You know, I'm not – I think Jalen Hurts is solid, but I think he has lapses where he doesn't look that good.
Yeah, I mean, the NFC is pretty much wide open. Like, there's not a lot of sleeper teams in the AFC. Like, outside of the AFC West and I guess AFC North, most of these divisions are, like, settled.
Yeah.
Like, pretty much, like, we know probably, like, unless it's, like, an epic collapse, the Titans should win that division. Like, as long as they play okay football the rest of the way through.
Yeah.
The AFC East is going to be a battle between the Patriots and the Bills the rest of the season to see who wins the division.
First place again. Only a year and a half. Come on. They're going to take over this division, I heard, Buffalo.
Yeah, I mean, Buffalo has not played good at all. Buffalo has – they are the epitome of playing down to your opponent, them and the Ravens this season. AFC North is a cluster. It's a mess. Steelers are 5-4-1. That tells you all you need to know. That team can tie with the Lions and then go put 30 up on the Chargers, which is not an accomplishment. I mean, the Chargers defense isn't that good, but have a competent offense against the Chargers. And then the Bengals, who knows? They started off hot. And there's some weeks where Joe Burrow still looks like a rookie. So I don't know. The Browns, like we said, they're struggling. Hopefully they get it together. The Ravens, same thing. They either dominate or they get dominated. There's really no in between. And then the AFC West, y'all had it. Chargers, Raiders, not the Broncos. Y'all were pretenders the whole time. But Chargers, Raiders, y'all had it. Y'all had it. And you let it slip through your fingers. How are the Chiefs leading this division?
They're not that good.
Raiders, I know you lost Henry Ruggs. I know John Gruden's a racist. I get it. Y'all had to overcome challenges.
Their whole 2020 draft class is gone. Goodbye. But we'll see you later.
Their point differential is minus 39, and they've been good against wide receivers this year. Their secondary's played good, and they've lost three straight. How? Derek Carr was playing so good, and we said at the beginning of the year, man, this always happens with this Raiders team. They start off so hot, and it looks like Raiders football is back, and they've done it again. I was drinking the Kool-Aid this year. Most of the time, I stay away from it because I know what happens. But this year, I was drinking the Kool-Aid. John Gruden had me inspired, and then I found out he's a racist. Henry Ruggs was looking like a breakout candidate. He was having a good season, and then he could vehicular manslaughter. Why?
I know. I mean – I think the Chargers have they should have had a strong home grip on this division.
Yes. And
I get why Vegas dropped. I can see why they dropped this season.
You know what's crazy? Yeah, I get why Vegas is having a terrible like middle of the season. Yeah. You know what's really crazy? The Chargers have allowed more points than they've scored. They have a minus 5 point differential. And they're 6-4. Imagine Justin Herbert with a good defense. This dude has to put up like 31, 34 points every game to win. And it's because the Chargers have nothing they're strong against. Like Cleveland, they're bad against the pass, but they're generally strong against the run. Like the Raiders, they've been pretty good against wide receivers this year, but tight ends have given them trouble and running backs have given them trouble. The Chargers, running backs, here, free lane. They had 100 yards. Wide receivers, Asante Samuel, he's a rookie. Like, he's really good. you can still get your 100-yard games on that secondary. Tight ends, we're awful against tight ends. Every tight end turns into prime George Kittle or Travis Kelce against us. They can't stop anything.
And that's going to be the downfall. I mean, they face Kansas City again. So they
can't stop anything, and they've got talent. So I don't get it. They have Joey Bosa, so you've got your pass rusher. They got Derwin James. He might be the best safety in the NFL. That dude missed two seasons, and he's the best DB you got. Asante Samuel, he's a rookie. He's the best corner you got. All your linebackers run a 4.4s. I know. I played Madden. They all have 88-plus speed rate.
So I rebuild with the Chargers every weekend for my sports management class.
So what's the problem? What's the issue here? Why is the defense not good?
I think it's just them underperforming. Just
maybe. They've been doing that for 5 years, though. Whoa, when are you going to perform?
I can't say they got clean out or like clean up the coaching staff because they just did.
Brandon Staley's a great coach.
Yeah.
Also, he has big cojones, which I love on a coach. Big cojones. He will go for it on 4th-and-1 from his own 10. Because he doesn't care. He knows.
I think it was the Steelers game. They were on like the own 30-yard line, like tied.
And he went for it.
He went for it.
Because he knows that punting is throwing the white flag, waving the white towel. He knows. I said that backwards. Throwing in the towel, waving the white flag. But yeah, why? Why are the Chiefs leading this division? I just don't get it.
They're only half game back right now.
They've unlocked their offense, but I feel like it's not the Chiefs adapting. They're just doing the same thing that worked 2 years ago and last year. They haven't changed their offense any.
No, but they're not scoring as much. But I'm not counting that Raiders game because that's
– I'm not counting the Cowboys game either. The Cowboys lost that game on their own. The Chiefs scored 19 points.
Yeah.
The Cowboys scored 9. I know the injuries piled up or whatever. 9? 9. Mike. Mr. McCarthy. 9 points.
Honestly, I blame that game on Dak, though.
Yeah, Dak did not play good.
And, you know, I'm glad Zeke's okay. He looked like he had a knee injury. That would then – no, that's not happening.
But, yeah, I mean, the AFC doesn't have that many, like, sleeper teams. Like, unless you want to say someone like Denver, you know, surges.
I was thinking the Colts. You know, they're 6-5 right now on a 3-game win streak.
But are they really a sleeper, though? Like, they would have been, like, if, you know, if we would have said this when they were 3-5.
Yeah.
But now, you know, I said this early in the season, and you agreed with me. I said, if they want to win, they have to have Carson Wentz do a lot of this.
A lot of handoffs.
He has to be Jimmy Handoff. He needs to be Henry Handoff, Harry Handoff. And he's done exactly that.
Yeah. He's
Jonathan Taylor. Is great. He's amazing. He is the best running back in the NFL because Derrick Henry's hurt. When Derrick Henry is healthy, Derrick Henry. But Jonathan Taylor is taking the mantle for the rest of the season. And Carson Wentz, you know, he's staying healthy because he's not throwing a lot. He's not having to run out of the pocket. And we're getting glimpses of prime Carson Wentz. I mean, he evaded that sack last week, and there's like 3 people on him, and he got out of it. And, you know, he looked like he was back in Philly. The passing stats didn't look like he was back in Philly, but he looked like he was back in Philly. So, I mean, when Jonathan Taylor scores 5 touchdowns against Buffalo, that's your win condition. And they figured it out, and Frank Reich stopped trying to get cute with the backfield, and Nyheim Hines is my receiving back. No, Jonathan Taylor should get 100% of the backs.
Yeah. And they just paid Hines. They just like, Hines, so now you're screwed.
So, like, are they really a sleeper now? They're in the fight.
No, are they?
I don't know if they are or not, but they're in the fight.
Yeah,
they're in the fight because the AFC North, every team has a winning record there, but that's about to change. Don't worry about that. The cream will always rise to the top.
And the AFC North never rises to the top. But let's get into it. We got 3 games on tap for Thursday. We got some Sunday games. We got a Monday night game and two teams on bye. First game of the week, Chicago at Detroit.
Give me the Lions.
That's what we like. That's what we like.
We've been begging for Dan Campbell to get his first win.
Dan, this will be the ultimate win.
I thought it was going to happen the first game y'all played Chicago. It didn't because you decided to just abandon the run game. But they have Jamal Williams back. DeAndre Swift has kind of figured out how to run the football instead of running into his offensive linemen. So he's not just the wide receiver anymore. So, I'll take the Lions.
I'm going Lions as well. I think it's the perfect scenario. Dan Campbell, let's do it. Let's get the one. Get the one win, please. And then the 4:30 game, Vegas at Dallas.
I want to say Vegas because I got to break the losing streak at some point. But, like, Dallas just lost 9-19, and I know they're kind of mad about that. So I'm going to take the Cowboys, but in a close one.
I'm going Cowboys as well. I know Cooper's not going to be in this one, but Zeke will be there. Their tight ends have been plethora. But I think they can get it done. You know, they might be about – did I say they might be about CD?
No. Yeah, CD might miss this one.
They might miss them, but I think they can squeak out a win. And then later on that night, Buffalo at New Orleans.
Give me Buffalo, but give me Buffalo in a 3-point game.
I want to go New Orleans here, but after what I saw in Philly, it was bad.
Yeah.
Buffalo coming off a loss, I'll go Buffalo. And then we're on to the Sunday games. Pittsburgh at Cincinnati.
Cincinnati, but I don't feel good about it because I don't – like the Steelers, I think they're a terrible team. But at the same time, Big Ben has something left. Because it wouldn't have been a close game against the Chargers if he didn't.
Yeah. Cincinnati, I believe, beat him earlier in the year. I think they can do it again. They're at home now. They should be 100% healthy. I don't know anyone key that's injured for them, at least on the offensive side. And then Tampa Bay at Indy. This could be a good game.
Give me Tampa because their strength shuts down the Colts' biggest strength, which is Jonathan Taylor. And it is really hard for running backs to run on Tampa.
I'm going Tampa as well. I was just about to say that. And I think Indy's secondary might be a little bit too weak to stop because I believe Antonio Brown and Gronk will be back. So that there's a lot of weapons to stop there.
Yeah.
And then Carolina at Miami.
Give me Super Cam and the Carolina Panthers to go get to 6-6.
I got Carolina in this one as well. I think Miami's just – they're a dumpster fire this season. It's not good. And then another 1 o'clock game, Tennessee at New England.
This is going to be an interesting game to watch because if A.J. Brown misses, the Titans have Ryan Tannehill and a practice squad offense. And if that is the case, New England. However, if they have A.J. Brown, Bill Belichick's going to take your best weapon away. So still New England. But the reason I'm not 100% on New England is because the Titans seem to win these games. Mike Vrabel seems to get this team up for big games, and they just pull it off somehow. You know, they grit it out, and they grind the win out. I'm still going to go New England, but I'm not going to be shocked whatsoever if the Titans somehow win this game with Dontrell Hillard as their starting running back.
I've seen Tennessee play New England very tough. Vrabel always plays Belichick tough. Like, he knows how to game plan against them. But – I think this is going to be a defense versus defense game. It's going to be very low scoring. New England's defense has stepped up in the past month, I'd say. It'll be interesting to see But I'm going New England. I think they're clicking now in the passing and running game. It's both there. You know what I mean? It's not just one-sided where it used to be all running game. I think Mac Jones has finally gotten comfortable to where he can lead a game-winning drive if needed. And then Philly at New York Giants.
I'm not saying America loses because there's a couple other matchups coming up that, yes, America loses. But I'm going to take Jalen Hurts because, yeah, we just went on like a 15-minute rant about why the Giants are terrible. So I'll take Jalen Hurts.
Eagles. I will also go Philly after seeing what the Giants are producing every week. Atlanta at Jacksonville.
You would think this is the America losers game, but it's not. It's not. Trust me, there's an even worse matchup on the schedule. This is B. This game, you don't want to watch it. I wouldn't. I'm going to take Jacksonville in this game because no other reason other than I don't like Atlanta and I want Jacksonville to win.
I'm going to go Atlanta. I think Matty Ice has had a bad couple games. I think this is his get-right game where he lights up for almost 300 yards. Kyle Pitts, I hope, has a great game as well.
Yeah, I hope not. I'm playing him in fantasy. No.
And then do you want to take me on as well?
Oh, man. The 2-8 New York Jets led by Zach Wilson, the Mormon mafia leader himself, versus the 2-8 David Culley led Houston Texans with Tyrod Taylor at quarterback. And in my fantasy flex, Brandon Cooks, who gets two targets a game, even though he's the only receiver on the team. This is the America lose game of the week. If you tune into this game, you are either a Jets fan, which means you have the highest dosage of depression medicine, or a Texans fan, which might mean you're a rapist, a racist, or a devout Christian. I don't know.
Or all three.
Or all three. You can be all three. I'm going to go Texans because Zach Wilson hasn't looked good and the Texans defense has looked okay the last 2 weeks, but I don't feel good about it.
I will also go Houston after seeing what Zach Wilson has done this season. Los Angeles Chargers at Denver.
Give me Justin Herbert over the two gloves, Teddy throws a vote. Denver's defense has played okay, but their offense has been kind of stagnant. Don't be shocked if Noah Fant goes for 175 yards against the Chargers, though, because they can't stop tight ends. They can't stop anybody, you know. Both running backs might get 100 yards. This game might be 45-44. Who knows?
I'm going Chargers. I think Denver played a little good against Dallas. I think it was a fluke. I think the defense is playing a little bit out of their mind, and I think Herbert should have a great game. Rams at Green Bay.
Sean McVay. Let me go ahead and gloat for a little minute because you did not take my 49ers last week against the Rams, even though I said they ain't beat us in two seasons. I know. Listen, you don't have to tell me. I know how bad we look. Okay, I know. But if there's one game Kyle Shanahan's going to get ready for, it's against his son, Sean McVay. Kyle Shanahan showed Sean McVay who daddy is once again. And Deebo Samuel, go ask Aaron Donald who Deebo is. I bet he knows now. He should know. He ain't beat us in five games. But all that to say, the Rams got to figure something out because they've been shut down 2 weeks in a row. They're coming off a bye week. Aaron Rodgers got a toe injury of some sort, turf toe, whatever. I don't know. It didn't look to bother him that much. I mean, he had like 360 yards and four touchdowns. I'm going to take the Rams just because Matt Stafford can't be as bad the last 2 weeks, right? Like, in no way. Now, the defense has got to show up. But at the same time, the Packers defense has been playing good. But I'm going to take the Rams.
I'm going with the bad man.
He's a
bad man.
Bad man.
I'm going Green Bay. I think, you know, the Rams, they've looked lost the past 2 weeks.
They have.
And it's not like it's been against that, like, the best teams in the league, too. It's been against teams that are trying to get into the playoff or Tennessee. It was their first game without Derrick Henry, so we didn't know what they were going to look like. But I think I have Green Bay in this one. I think Aaron Jones might be back for this one. Never know. Either way, I think they squeak it out. It's in Green Bay too. The refs will throw some roughing the passer call.
No, of course.
And then another 425 game, Minnesota at San Fran.
Give me my 49ers. We're going 7-0 to close the season out. We will end the season 12-5. I'm not going to say Sharpie because I'm not that confident. But I will take us over Minnesota. Minnesota's pass blocking has been shaky this season. Nick Bosa sees the highest double team rate in the NFL. He has 10 sacks, 15 tackles for loss. Since we moved Eric Armstead inside next to him, he's been absolutely unstoppable. So Nick Bosa will lead us to victory over Minnesota.
I will also go San Fran in this one, too.
Oh, we're losing now. Thanks, man. Thanks, Ed.
Minnesota, I don't think Minnesota can stop that defense, San Fran. Although Kirk Cousins looked amazing this season. A 21-2 touchdown ratio is amazing. But I think San Fran's defense might be a little bit too much. Also, I think Debo might run wild on this game.
He's been lining up at running back, man.
I think he can light up at running back and receiver.
He said he played running back his whole life, so I don't know. I don't know what they were doing at South Carolina. I mean, this dude is phenomenal.
And then the Sunday night game, Cleveland at Baltimore.
Give me Baltimore, but if Baltimore loses this game by 30, I'm not shocked, but give me Baltimore.
I'm going Baltimore blowout. Baltimore always has the Chiefs or Cleveland's number. It's like San Fran versus the Rams the past 2 years.
You know, Lamar Jackson got to get healthy. He ate a bad Chipotle burrito or something. He's had the poops and the runs. He's got a cold. He's got COVID. We don't know what's wrong with him. This mystery virus has to get out of his system.
The most non-COVID illness cases in the league.
Yes.
What is this, like the fifth one?
Him and A.J. Brown went to the same restaurant, apparently, because he still looks bad. So...
And then we got the Monday night game, Seattle at Washington.
Oh, what a barn burner. Two defenses that can't stop nothing. The football team got all the talent on the defensive side of the ball. They can't stop nothing. Their secondary is atrocious. Their defensive line is great. Now they don't have Chase Young. Now they don't have Montez Sweat. They got two big DTs, Jonathan Allen and Matthew Ioannidis. They're going to have to step up. They're going to have to do something. They're going to have to do something before two something. All right, you gotta do something. Secondary, I don't know what to tell you. It's Washington fans, they're terrible. What do you want me to say? They can't stop anybody. They've been teabagged by every wide receiver that they face. Offensively, it's a very simple game plan, Tommy. Very simple for them. Taylor Heinicke hands the ball off to Antonio Gibson, and they throw the ball to Terry McLaurin. Don't do this game plan where you only throw it to him for one drive and then you don't throw it to him the rest of the game. Move him around the formation, get him open. Seattle can't stop anybody. There's no reason Washington should not score in this game, but this is the exact type of game where Washington will put up 3 points. Don't be shocked if Jamal Adams looks like a safety because of how bad the Washington football team plays offense. Blitz Boy is terrible at his position. But somehow he'll shut down the football team.
He intercepted Aaron Rodgers. Give that man some credit.
But I'm going with the football team.
I'm going to go Seattle.
Seattle's terrible.
I know they're terrible, but I think Russell Wilson's going to clutch this one out. I think he gets it done this week. He's like, all right, I've lost too many games since I've been back. We need to get something going. Let's win against this no-name football team. And that's all the games for this week. But we're about three quarters into the season now, right?
Yep.
So we thought it was a good idea to look at the award odds in Vegas. I think it's fitting we should start out with MVP. Do you know who's leading?
Probably short field, red zone merchant Tom Brady.
It is. So you want me to read? I'll do top four. How's that sound?
Yeah, sounds good.
So number four is Stafford. Number three is Rodgers. Number two is Josh Allen. Number one's Brady. What do you think?
This is sad, because Tom Brady has the easiest job in the NFL. He gets short fields every game. His offensive line does not allow pressure whatsoever against any defense, and his wide receivers are magically wide open all the time. But I mean, statistically, yes, Tom Brady is the MVP, I guess, to this point. I would love to see Josh Allen get his act together, because I'd love to see Josh Allen win an MVP. But it doesn't shock me. I agree with the top four odds.
Honestly, they had Josh Allen at one, I want to say, last week. I thought that was high. I don't think he has looked like the number one in the league. I think he's looked good. But I think they don't take into account that, like, most of those games, the defense stepped up and it's putting the offense – you know what I mean?
Yeah.
But – Aaron Rodgers, you know, Kyler Murray dropped after his injury. If Kyler Murray was healthy, he'd probably be up there. I agree. I think, honestly, the way things go, I think Brady gets another MVP just because of the stats alone.
Let me say something about the MVP, though, real quick.
Yeah.
What we're not going to do is put Jonathan Taylor in this MVP conversation, because last year, and the six-game stretch that Derrick Henry had at the end of the season and going for back-to-back 2K-yard seasons, no. Derrick Henry wasn't in the MVP conversation. Derrick Henry, you know, he's a running back. He's offensive player of the year. No. Jonathan Taylor doesn't get to be in the MVP conversation because Derrick Henry wasn't in the MVP conversation. Is that petty on my part? Sure. But that's how we're going to do it.
It makes sense. That's the way the NFL is doing it.
Yeah. So, Jonathan Taylor, all you Colts fans and all you Jonathan Taylor fantasy owners, no. No. He doesn't get to be in the MVP conversation because Derrick Henry was not in the MVP conversation, and they're having the same exact season. What Jonathan Taylor just did to the Bills, 5 touchdowns, Derrick Henry did that in a primetime game in the beginning of the season. He had 3 touchdowns.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
And then the offensive player of the year, it's right now it's Cooper Kupp at plus 175.
That'll change very quick.
Jonathan Taylor plus 300, and then Debo Samuel plus 1,000.
Debo is the most versatile player in the NFL, maybe, to be honest. Like, I'm not trying to be a homer or anything, but, like he's lined up at running back the last 2 weeks and has been great at running back. So, but he doesn't deserve to be offensive player of the year. Jonathan Taylor is probably going to run away with it if he continues to do what he's doing now. Cooper Kupp had a great first half of the season, but the Rams have kind of stalled out as of late.
He did have good games in those
ones. Yeah, but the touchdowns are going to stop coming to him, I feel like. And yardage, you know, that's great and all, but Jonathan Taylor might end up with like 25, 26 touchdowns this year.
I think Kupp can hold on depending on how they look in this game. This game will tell, I think. But I agree. I think Jonathan Taylor could run away with it. And then defensive player of the year odds.
This should be Myles Garrett and nobody else.
It's right now Myles Garrett's leading, Trayvon Diggs at 2, TJ Watt at 3, Aaron Donald 4.
Trayvon Diggs is way too high. I'm not gonna hate on him for giving up all the yardage that he gives up. I understand how he plays. He is there to take the ball away. He's an okay cover corner, but he's a ball hawk. He's a game changer because of that. He has a nose for the ball. Can't take that away from him. The interceptions are very phenomenal. It's very impressive. But you still can't ignore the yardage that he gives up. I'm not going to hate on him for it, but when you're talking about defensive player of the year, you have to take into account the touchdowns that he has given up. Yeah. Even if it is the safety's fault on some of them, it's definitely some of the safety's fault. It is still his guy to cover. They still scored those touchdowns. He also gets a decent amount of penalties. So, but I agree with Miles. It should be Myles Garrett's award to lose.
I was just about to say Myles Garrett should be the only candidate, really. And then Offensive Rookie of the Year. Mac Jones is leading right now at plus 100. Jamar Chase plus 120. And Najee Harris plus 1,200.
I agree with that. I'm kind of tired of the Najee Harris hype. I'm going to be honest. I think fantasy football is so relevant nowadays.
Yeah.
And so many people play it, like even just casual people, and they just want a reason to not hate football season, you know? So they play fantasy football. That Najee Harris is like now supposed to be like this good running back. He's really not, like, efficiency wise. He's averaging like 3.2 yards a carry. Right? Like the same thing DeAndre Swift's averaging. And we think DeAndre Swift's a terrible running back. Like I don't think DeAndre Swift's very good at running the ball at all. He has shown the last 2 weeks that he can be. We'll see if he can continue that. It will change my opinion on him drastically if he keeps up this production the rest of the season. But up until 2 weeks ago, I didn't think he was a good running back. I thought he was a good weapon, just not pure runner. Najee, you can blame it on the offensive line all you want, right? At some point, you have to show flashes of being an explosive running back. Saquon Barkley did it, right?
Yeah. You know,
he didn't show flashes. He showed seasons of that. Najee Harris, the longest run of the season is 20 yards. Like, I haven't seen anything that's just blown me away. He has incredible balance. He has okay vision. And he's a good pass catcher. But he hasn't shown me anything that shows he's going to be an elite running back. And I really think that's because of fantasy. I think people look at his fantasy production and assume he's a good running back.
They're like, oh, he's got 90 total. He's got like around 80 total yards a game. That's average. You know what I mean? That's like, it's nothing. Nothing stands out with me with him. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Like, he gets a lot of yardage, sure. But he's also getting an insane amount of touches. Yeah.
He gets like what? Like 22 touches a game?
Yeah, sometimes up to 30.
Yeah. And he's not even getting triple digits. Come on.
Like, it's really just, we'll see. Like, I'm not saying he's bad. I don't think he's bad, but we're going to have to see with him because he just hasn't blown me away. I get their offensive line's terrible, but he hasn't even shown me flashes of being super explosive on the ground.
A couple weeks ago, I would have gone Chase and then Mac Jones, but I think Mac Jones has played really good in the past month, so I think he's going to hold on to it. And then Defensive Rookie of the Year.
Micah Parsons.
Yeah, it's Micah Parsons minus 334, and then Surtain 1,000, and then Odafe Owe? Is that
anything? Yeah, from Baltimore.
Yeah, 1,800.
Yeah, I mean, Micah Parsons has been incredible. There's not much else to say.
Yeah. I mean, he's been doing it all for that Dallas defense. And I think he had a fumble or he sacked fumble last game.
Yep.
And then comeback player of the year odds. Right now, it's Dak leading minus 450. Burrow, 600. Wentz, 1,400. James Conner, 1,400.
I agree. It's kind of surprising to see James Conner on there.
Well, I was shocked too, but they said if the players overcome the most adversity – or played poorly the year prior. And he played very poorly last year.
Yeah. But, yeah, it's Dak's award to lose.
Yeah. I mean, he's just been killing it in Dallas and after the injury he had. And then the last award, Coach of the Year. Right now, it's Cliff Kingsbury leading, plus 400. Belichick, plus 500. Vrabel, plus 600. And then Staley, plus 1,000.
Cliff Kingsbury is too high. I understand why he's there because of their record. He'll drop eventually, I do believe, because I don't think the Cardinals are going to keep up that hot pace that they had at the beginning of the season. If Vrabel gets the Titans to the playoffs with no more than maybe one or two losses the rest of the season, I think it should go to Vrabel. But Belichick at the same, on the same side of the same coin, I mean, what more is there to say about Bill Belichick? Everyone wanted to say last year, oh, Bill needs Tom. You can see it. The Patriots did so bad without Tom. What did I tell you when Tom Brady left, Tommy? What did I tell you? We are going to see that Bill Belichick does not need Tom Brady. Sure, last year was bad. They also had half their team decide to not play. Cam Newton caught COVID. He played pretty decent the first couple games, caught COVID, came back, was not the same. And they didn't have a good backup quarterback. They didn't have any weapons. Not that they have that many now, but the weapons that they do have are an immense upgrade than what they had last year. And now they have Mac Jones. And Mac Jones' stats this year look eerily similar to the last season and New England stats for Tom Brady. Yeah. I just, you know how I feel about Tom Brady. He's just a game. He's the ultimate game manager, and he's always been set up by his teams to do well. Bill Belichick is the greatest coach of all time. At this point, if you don't agree with it, then you're just living in the wrong reality.
That last Super Bowl was bittersweet for me, just because I'm a Brady fan. You know, it comes with being a New England fan, but then it's like that should be our. You know what I mean? That should be. But I'm looking like all online. They're like, Bill Belichick's nothing. He's just a Jeff Fisher without Tom Brady. I'm like, come on now. Let's give the guy more than one season before we write him off. And look at him. He's coaching phenomenally.
Yeah, I mean, this is just insane to me that they decided to use last year. If you look at Tom Brady, he went to the most stacked roster in the NFL. Like, it's not – Tom Brady did not make the Bucs a Super Bowl contender. That's right. They should have already been there. Sure. James Winston's just an idiot.
Honestly, if Jameis Winston was there last year, they probably still would have made the playoffs.
Yeah. It's the fact that Tom Brady does not turn the ball over. Yep. And in his brain, I've always given Brady credit for that. He's maybe the best pre-snap quarterback outside of Peyton Manning ever. Ever. He's great at setting up protections. He's great at doing all that. But when it comes to actual talent, he's not even in the top 10 in NFL history at quarterback position. So pre-snap, amazing. And that is what made the Bucs elevate so much, because he doesn't turn the ball over. That's it. But the defense was atrocious with Jameis Winston. And then all of a sudden Tom Brady gets there and they're the best unit in the NFL. No one wants to give the defense credit. Tom Brady did not make that team a Super Bowl contender. The defense turning around to be the best unit in the NFL made that team a Super Bowl contender.
Especially the run defense.
Yes. Like, Tom Brady went and got Mike Evans, Chris Godwin. They got AB. They brought back Gronk, OJ Howard, Cameron Brate, Leonard Fournette, Ronald Jones, the best offensive line in football, maybe. And then they had the best defense. It's a stacked roster. Put any other quarterback there and they're going to have the same results, maybe.
Yeah. And I think we overhype Bruce Arians as well. I don't think he's that great of a coach when we talk about all-time greats.
He had success with Carson Palmer. What other quarterback did he have success with?
Exactly. Like, I think in this situation, he needs Brady.
Yes. And you saw when Brady first got there, that first couple weeks, they struggled mightily because Bruce Arians told Brady, we're going to run four verts. We're going to run the air raid. I want to do Bruce Arians offense. And Brady said, listen here, man. People call me the GOAT for a reason. We're going to run the New England system because I know that like the back of my hand. And Bruce Arians said, yes, Dad. Yes, we will. I'll change my complete playbook up for you.
Yeah.
Do they take shots downfield? Sure. Not like Bruce Arians wants to. And that's because of Tom Brady. That's because he fit his system around Tom Brady. Tom Brady did not come in and fit into the Bruce Arians offense.
If it ain't broke, don't fix it.
Exactly.
That is all for that. And now we got some cash or pass, baby. So I picked all Thanksgiving games for you.
Okay.
So the first one, Detroit plus three.
Cashing that.
It's 110. So they're both 110 either way. So, and then Las Vegas plus four first half.
To be leading out of after the first half?
So they got to keep it within four or?
Oh, okay. All right. I'll pass. I think the Cowboys are going to come out strong.
It's a 110 push. Bills minus 5.5.
Nah, passing on that. I think the Saints can keep it close.
And then I got a couple player props for the Thanksgiving games as well. TJ Hockenson, score and win, plus 350.
I like that.
Like that? Cashing it?
Yeah.
And then Dak, two touchdowns, plus 3,000.
Yeah, I'll cash that one too.
And then Kamara, a single TD plus 750.
If Kamara plays, sure. But we don't know if he's going to play or not.
Then you have a couple or?
Yeah. Allen Robinson, anytime touchdown score, plus 185. With Andy Dalton, he had 11 targets in the first week.
I'm going to pass.
All right. Understandable. Zeke for two touchdowns or more, plus 190.
I'll cash. I could see a goal line in like a normal team. You know what I mean?
Yeah. And Taysom Hill to score the first touchdown for the Saints, plus 2,000.
Yeah. Cash immediately. I think, of course, it's going to be like some gadget play. That's what they do every like primetime game.
Yep. I just think that they just signed under the contract. Not that it really means anything. But if Kamara and they're saying Mark Ingram might not play, if both those guys or even one of those guys misses, your receivers, everyone knows they're not very good. And Adam Trautman just is going to miss 4 to 6 weeks, you know, and Juwan Johnson's been a healthy scratch the last couple of weeks. I feel like it's the perfect time for them to go into the red zone and Taysom Hill comes in at quarterback and they do the read option or something. He runs it in.
I wouldn't be surprised. We've seen it so many years now.
So that's why I picked that.
Any other bets you have?
No, I think that's it, man. One last thing before we get off here. We're not doing any NBA today. This is just a Thanksgiving little episode for y'all. What is your favorite Thanksgiving dish?
For me, if I might choose one thing or what everything on my plate?
Just one thing.
I'm a big stuffing guy.
I agree. Is it? Are we going homemade or stovetop?
Either or.
All right.
How about you?
I'm going, and I have to cook this tomorrow, so I have to getting ready. Going mac and cheese, oven baked mac and cheese. God, there's nothing like it. I mean, regular mac and cheese is good, but that Thanksgiving mac and cheese just be hidden. Just be hidden different.
Now, what's a full plate look for you?
I'm going. I keep it very simple, man. I'm going to go turkey, usually deep fried, mac and cheese, mashed potatoes, and maybe some green beans or something like that. I don't really like too many casseroles or anything like that.
We're very similar. You know, obviously you got the turkey. Sometimes either or, sometimes I'm doing mashed potatoes or some sweet potatoes. I know you're not a fan, but what else? You got the stuffing, a green bean casserole, usually somewhat in there. I'm trying to think what else. I think that's it. Maybe a little bit of gravy, cranberry.
I can't forget the dressing / stuffing. Whichever one is there, I'm eating that too.
I'm just going, give me that. I'm going, give me that.
What's your, before we get off here, favorite dessert?
Pumpkin pie. Pumpkin pie, whipped cream with some vanilla ice cream.
Nice classic.
How about you?
I'm going to go with a Hershey, homemade Hershey pie.
Ooh, there you go. That's my
favorite.
Yeah, I go with the pumpkin pie because usually it's pecan pie as well. I stay away from that for good ideas. I ain't going to die out here. I go with the pumpkin.
I respect it.
What's not on your plate besides sweet potatoes?
I'm not going for any of the casseroles, man. I don't know. I can't do it. Also, ham. I hate ham. I go Thanksgiving, sometimes we'll have ham and turkey, and I'm not a big ham guy. Usually for Christmas, that's what everyone eats. We'll eat turkey again, or we'll eat like fried chicken or something. Like, I'm not having ham. It's not happening.
How about desserts you stay away from?
I'm a chunky guy, man. Any dessert is on my plate, you know. There's not too many I stay away. One I do stay away from on Christmas time is fruitcake. We ain't eating that.
We don't touch the fruit.
Holiday cakes are not for me, man. You could keep that.
Is there gonna be Dr. Pepper at the?
Oh, of course. Yes. Dr. Pepper is a necessity.
Some code reds.
Not too many code reds. Dr. Pepper's a necessity.
That's right.
Other people's body's 70% water. Mine is 70% Dr. Pepper.
Right. All right. I think that's about it for today. How sign us off today, Jordan.
Sign us off. Oh my goodness.
It's a special episode. We'll switch it up.
All right, ladies and gentlemen. That was it for the locker room. We hope you enjoyed this episode. It was just a quick little NFL Thanksgiving episode. Me and Tommy, you know, giving you some memories and hopefully making you some money on these cash and pass. Probably not, but that's it. Thank you for tuning in. We'll be here next week probably for our regular episode with the NBA as well. So thank you for watching. And thank you, guys. Adios.
Have a happy Thanksgiving, everyone.